Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Rebel Room. Ryan Green, Ray Brewer here to talk with you about UNLV BYU. UNLV opens up its Mountain West Conference play with a 77-73 loss at BYU. Never an easy place to play. The Rebels won there last year. This year, we're in control for 34 minutes. Not total complete control, but you know, we're keeping the fast-paced Cougars from being fast-paced. They kept it a half-court game, which is what they want. But the final 6 minutes just didn't go their way. Some turnovers, some missed shots, and can't do that on the road against a good team, Ray. Last night, at the end, you look at it, it almost looked pretty cut and dry.
Yeah, UNLV just didn't finish. Basketball games are 40 minutes, not 35 or 36 minutes. And you were at the game. I watched it on TV. And regardless of where you were, you saw the same thing. Mm-hmm. UNLV, great to open the second half, as good as I've seen them play all year, making their shots, controlling the pace, enthusiastic into the game. And then BYU, it's tough to win at the Marriott Center.
Yeah.
I mean, BYU hardly loses there. Granted, UNLV beating them last year. But even when UNLV was up by six, I kind of got the feeling that BYU had one more run left in it. And was UNLV going to be able to withstand the pressure? And then next thing you know, Tavernary's hitting a shot from half court. He played 30 minutes. He wasn't playing at all this year. Wasn't making any shots. And then the former Bishop.
He always saves it for BYU.
Yeah, always saves it. Yeah, Bishop Gorman Gale, John Tavernary hadn't made a shot all year. Now, obviously he had, but he was very cold
compared to the previous
couple
of years.
Yeah, all of a sudden it was half court three, roll in. Next thing you know, UNLV's losing. Just didn't finish.
Mm-hmm. And Tavernary, you mentioned 17 points, 9 rebounds, 3 excuse me, 3 assists, 2 blocks in those 30 minutes. He was all over the place. And, you know, UNLV, it's funny you talk about withstanding runs, because how many times last night did we see the Rebels? You know, BYU would – Kendall Wallace put it best. He said anytime there was even a whiff of a run coming or the feel of a run coming, that place got nuts. There were about 16,000 there. It was really loud. And UNLV answered in the face of it almost every time. You know, be it the Justin Hawkins and one in transition, a Trayvon Willis three, no matter what it was, they found ways to answer. And it's tough to pinpoint exactly what happened there at the end.
Yeah, and I think when push came to shove, you've got probably the two elite teams in the conference, a rivalry that is just grown over the years to something that is the highlight game of the entire league season, not just for the entire league. Mm-hmm. And last night was just another chapter in this great rivalry. Back and forth, and BYU wins the game with Michael Lloyd. Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, the Palo Verde grad, I cover his brother at Gorman, and here's a guy who really hadn't done much in his career at BYU. It's his third year there now. He's a sophomore, he'd redshirted. And last night, boy, he came up and he had a great game.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at the box score, you see, well, Trevon had 24 for UNLV, had those back-to-back threes at the beginning of the second half. Kendall had a three. Matt Shaw started off strong in the second half. But when you think about it, Trevon was the only UNLV player in double figures. And maybe some turnovers late, I think, kind of swung the game a little bit. And it obviously tough to pinpoint what went wrong. Bottom line, they didn't seal the deal. Bottom line, Trevon came to play. Other players came to play, but didn't have the impact that they needed to make.
And, you know, look, Trevon, you know, he's never going to make excuses, and he's never going to. And you know, this is a guy who had a lot on his shoulders, because not only is he the leader of this team, but in the closing minutes when things got really tight, he was the guy who teammates were even passing up some open shots to defer to. And you know, he had 7 of UNLV's 15 turnovers, but a couple of them came late in the game when he was put in some tough spots, and it was almost like UNLV. I don't want to say their confidence was zapped, but they, you know, Oscar Belfield said it was lost concentration there at the end, and you got to kind of agree with him.
Yeah, you have to. One stat that stands out, BYU only shot 36%. But I would say probably the last 8 minutes, they shot 70%. It mm-hmm. seemed like they couldn't miss down the stretch. UNLV defense has kind of become a trademark, a calling card. I thought they played great defensively mm-hmm. last night, with the exception of the last, you know, 6-7 minutes. But everything was in UNLV's favor until the end of the game. And I guess now we could talk about it till we're blue in the face, BYU blue in the face, but I guess we got to spin it ahead. New Mexico,
yeah,
probably a must win.
You know, it's hard to call things a must win this early in conference season, but UNLV really, I mean, you really don't want to get the three straight losses here and start in a hole 0-2. I mean, look, whoever wins this league this year is probably going to wind up going, what, 11, you know, 12-4. You know, 13. It's not like this one loss, you know, broke UNLV. But there were some positives to take from this game to spin forward. You know, look, I know Jimmer Fredette was a little bit sick, but UNLV again showing that they know how to guard this guy better than almost anybody in the league. You know, he was only 2 of 10 from the floor, 7 points, 1 assist, and 3 turnovers. They were in his head. And by doing that, they did. UNLV did what it talked about wanting to do going into this game. They wanted to slow it down, make it a half-court game, and make BYU beat them in the half-court. And I think BYU proved in the first half that as a half-court team, they're pretty average. I mean, let's be real here. They had 0 fast break points in the first half, 4 for the game. But what made UNLV, I guess, not able to be proud of it, too proud of its defensive effort, was the fact that they allowed 19 offensive rebounds.
Yeah.
14 in the first half.
UNLV out-rebounded Ryan by 7, and
UNLV could have been up 7 or 8 at halftime if it wasn't for the offensive rebounds for BYU.
Offensive rebounds, the second chances. I think UNLV had it just when they went on that hot streak to open the second half, if they could have just maybe extended that streak another 2 or 3 minutes, they probably build a lead that's too insurmountable. Mm-hmm. But obviously they couldn't do it.
They didn't do enough to make BYU panic. Yeah. They never did enough to make BYU panic.
You were at the game, packed house, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
What makes that arena so difficult to play in? I was trying to figure it out on TV. I mean, it looks like it's just it's just packed and loud, or is BYU got some kind of special mojo with the rims?
Well, you know, it's a spacious arena. So, I mean, it's not like everything's right on top of the floor quite like it is in, you know, say, the Pit. But what makes that place so loud is the student section is maybe the biggest in college basketball. It is huge. They have a general admission section on that entire side of the floor across on the benches. And those people never sit down. They never shut up. It was loud, and UNLV took the crowd out of it a little bit, but the thing is that crowd can be triggered so easily. You know, down 6, BYU hits a layup, and that place erupts. So, you know, it's look, this is one of the toughest leagues to win on the road in the country, and there's no secret about that. And BYU, you know, right up there as far as the toughest road atmospheres in the league and probably west of the Mississippi.
And that's why the loss was so, I would guess, tough for UNLV to take, because they were close to grabbing a win that not many other teams are going to get in the league at BYU. Another player who played well, Oscar Belfield, nine assists.
That's career high.
He seems like he is really organizing the offense and has a good idea what Coach Kruger wants to do with the ball. And if he's on the top of his game, if Trevon's on the top of his game, UNLV is tough to beat.
Yeah, and you know, while Oscar and Trey are playing well, the guy that they need, it's a three-headed monster in that backcourt. And Derek Jasper's the guy who they need to turn it up now, because, you know, look, Oscar is the point guard of this basketball team, and rightfully so. Derek, a 6'6" point guard, but he's really kind of not had the point guard responsibilities this year, and it's almost as if he's still trying to find his way at that two-guard spot. You know, last night, 2 for 5 with 4 points. You know, he can fill up the stat sheet elsewhere. He had 4 blocked shots, 4 rebounds, but deferring a lot on offense and not quite taking charge. You know, I asked Leon Kruger at practice today when the team got back. I said, "Do you need him to be more selfish?" He said, "Maybe not selfish, but productive." And you know, in practice today, they give him the ball to run the point in half court sets, and he scored on 4 straight plays. You know, it's something needs to trigger. And I mean, it's going to be hard for Oscar, Derek, and Trey to all get theirs on the same night. Look, there's only so many shots to go around, but when guys aren't getting theirs, there can't be offensive lulls, and if they are leaned on in the second half, deferring just probably can't happen as often.
Yeah. What were they trying to fix today? Was there anything that you saw just by watching practice where, hey, it looks like UNLV is going to try to attack this differently?
Well, it looked like a big thing they were trying to attack was how to deal with switches on defense in terms of when a guard gets – noticing mismatches. When Oscar Belfield last night got the ball with Noah Hartsock in front of him, you know, 6'9", slow-footed Noah Hartsock, not taking it at him and finishing. Today they worked on Bryce Mesamba out top, you know, having Trayvon and Derek and Oscar go against him. Start a play with a 6'9" power forward up top defending the point guard. And, you know, look, they're going to see a lot of that on Saturday. Let's push it forward to New Mexico, because New Mexico is one of the biggest teams in the conference. You know, UNLV's had a tough time dealing with size. And, you know, look, it's going to be a tough road atmosphere. UNLV's already experienced that. Now they got to figure out how to play against size.
Yeah, and New Mexico started the season, I think, with, 12 straight wins, and now they didn't look good at home against Dayton. They lost to San Diego State this week. So now New Mexico's a team that we thought, when, you know, we looked at the schedule, beating BYU, beating New Mexico on the road to open league play, might be tough, might be impossible. They need to split. I don't know if New Mexico is as good as we thought they were at the beginning of the year. I think they might have just started off strong, combined with maybe some weaker opponents on the schedule. But I think New Mexico is beatable. Obviously, UNLV is going to have to find a way to answer their size. UNLV's, you know, post presence or physical presence down low, however you want to word it, could use some improvement, to put it nicely. But, Ryan, I think a winnable game on Saturday. When we talked last week, I said loss at BYU, win at New Mexico. I'm going to stick with that because I'm halfway right, man. And I just think it could get done. But playing in the Pit, it's just – you've been there. It's a great venue for the fans. They're literally looking down on the players. And UNLV is going to have their hand.
And, you know, UNLV, before the week, I predicted a split this week, and I was leaning towards more winning at BYU, losing at New Mexico. I'm going to stick with the split, but I'm not confident in it. You know, UNLV, but look, if UNLV loses this week, it's not going to break them. This is not going to be, you know, this is not going to make or break the season. But it could be a huge boost, as the Rebels have a tough little stretch coming up. You know, San Diego State at home. And then things lighten up a little bit, so to speak. But, you know, the Rebels really need – I mean, they need to match this size well, because the two teams that they face this year that had a ton of size to throw at them, USC and K-State, blew them out of the water. So that's going to be object number one and objective number one. And inside of that, defending Darrington Hobson, who San Diego State coach Steve Fisher called the best pro prospect in this league. You know, he was a JUCO transfer, probably only going to be at New Mexico for 1 year. You know, this guy's a load. He's very Danny Granger like.
And the UNLV, just as you said earlier, K State, USC struggled on the inside, and it could be what dooms this team down the stretch and in the long run. You can't live and die with the perimeter game. Granted, UNLV's perimeter game, especially when they're hitting their threes, is as good as it gets in the league. But when you got to be able to throw the ball inside and have the other team think who you're throwing it to is going to have the ability to score.
Yeah,
doesn't have to score, but just the other team has to think that who you're giving it to has got a chance to do something. And right now, it's just not that way. Matt Shaw's played great at times this year, but often he settles for facing the basket instead of back against the basket. And it's just a glaring weakness that's been exposed in two of the three losses. And New Mexico, I wouldn't be surprised if they try to attack him that way.
Biggest key to this game for the Rebels?
Just dealing with the environment, man. I mean, no matter who New Mexico lines up and puts out there, no matter what year it is, on a Saturday night in Albuquerque, that is the only thing going on. Steve Alford, the coach over there, has made gripes over and over about UNLV hosting the tournament on its home court, and this is a big game for them to show that they're better than UNLV on its court. And I think that the fans are going to be out there in full force. This is a big game for them. And I don't think that angle's been talked about much, but I think it's very important.
A little bit of a personal touch on it.
And I think UNLV has just got to go in there. They know they're going to get smacked around a little bit, especially early when emotions are high. They got to weather the storm. They got to hit their shots. They got to be aggressive down low. Make adjustments from the BYU game, because you know Alford's going to look at tape from that, going to look at tape from USC and K-State, and they're just going to have to come out there, and if they get a win, smooth sailing ahead, because they're the two toughest road games you have. I think every other league game you could win on the road.
Absolutely. I wouldn't disagree. Not at all. And I think my key for this game would be keeping an eye on Derek Jasper. Does he, they tried to wake him up at practice today and kind of make him maybe get a little selfish streak on offense. Does it carry over? Either way, it's going to be a good game Saturday afternoon on Versus at the Pit. Stay tuned to LasVegasSun.com/Rebels for full live game coverage, full post-game coverage, everything you could want. LasVegasSun.com/Rebels. For Ray Brewer, I'm Ryan Green. This has been The Rebel Room. We'll talk to you this weekend.